Today we're building a Junglist sub-saturate riser in Ableton Live 12, with groove pool tricks baked in, so it feels like proper old-school jungle and rolling DN beat energy, not some generic EDM whoosh. The goal here is pressure, grit, and movement. We want the build to feel alive, a little dangerous, and like it's pulling the whole tune into the drop. We're going to work in three layers. First, a clean sub-foundation. Second, a saturated mid-layer that carries the audible tension. Third, groove-based rhythmic motion so the whole thing swings and breathes like it belongs in a breakbeat-driven track. Start by setting your tempo in the classic range, around 170 to 174 BPM if you want that old-school jungle feel, or a touch faster if you're leaning more modern. Then create three tracks, one MIDI track for the sub, one MIDI track for the saturated mid-layer, and an audio track for resampling if you want to print the result later. Splitting the sub and mid-layer is important, because it gives you cleaner control. The low end stays solid, and the dirt lives somewhere else where you can shape it properly. On the sub track, load operator or wave eatable. Keep it simple. A sine wave is perfect here, or a very clean triangle if you want a slightly rounder edge. Turn off the extra oscillators. Keep it mono, and if you want a little movement, add a small glide time, maybe somewhere around 20 to 60 milliseconds. That gives you a subtle slide instead of a robotic jump. Program a simple MIDI phrase over one or two bars. Start with the root note, then add a few octave jumps or fifths if the track wants motion. For jungle, short repeated notes usually work better than one long-held note, because they create that waking up tension. Now put a saturation chain on that sub. Start with saturator, then EQ8, then utility, and optionally a compressor or glue compressor if the level is a bit uneven. On saturator, keep the drive moderate. Around plus 3 to plus 8 dB is usually enough to bring out harmonics without wrecking the fundamental. Soft clip-on is useful here. If you want a nastier, more broken-up edge, you can push it harder, but the key is to keep the low end stable. Use EQ8 to clean up any mud, especially in the 200 to 400 Hz range if the sound starts getting boxy. Utility is there to keep the sub centered and mono. And if you need compression, use it lightly, just enough to keep the energy steady. We are not trying to smash this into loudness. We're trying to make it feel solid. Next, build the mid-saturation layer. Duplicate the MIDI, or make a new track and copy the same notes across. This layer can be much more aggressive. Use wave eatable, operator, or anything that gives you more harmonic content than a pure sine. A saw, square, or a wave eatable with some teeth will work well. Put auto filter in the chain and start the cutoff fairly low, maybe around 150 to 300 Hz, then automated opening as the riser builds. A 24 dB low pass filter gives you a nice dramatic rise. Add saturator here too, or roar if you want more of Live 12 modern grit. This is where you can go harder than the sub layer. You want this layer to become obvious on small speakers, because that's what makes the rise feel bigger and more urgent. After distortion, use EQ8 to high pass the low end, usually somewhere between 80 and 150 Hz, and clean out any low mid mud. If the sound needs more presence, a gentle lift in the 1 to 2.5 kHz area can help it cut through. Now for the secret sauce. Groove pool. This is where the riser stops feeling like a plain MIDI build and starts feeling like it came from a real jungle session. Open the groove pool and try a classic swing, like an MPC style 16th swing, or better yet, extract a groove from a jungle break. That's the most authentic route, because the riser then inherits the rhythmic DNA of the break. Apply the groove to your MIDI clip, but don't overdo it. You want enough swing to feel human and broken, not so much that the build loses forward momentum. A good starting point is lower groove amounts on the sub-track, maybe 10 to 30%, and higher amounts on the mid-layer, maybe 35 to 70%. That contrast is important. The sub stays grounded and stable, while the mid-layer gets to dance around it. If you want extra character, try a groove-to-straight contrast. Let the first half of the build be more swung, then gradually reduce the groove amount so the final bar tightens up. That tightening effect can feel like the tune is locking in right before the drop. You can also use rhythm displacement by shifting a few notes slightly early or late, or by changing note lengths across the bar. Shorter notes, little gaps, and syncopated stabs create urgency much better than just making things louder. A really useful structure is to change density over time. For example, in bar 1, use short 1/8 pulses. In bar 2, move to 1/16 notes. In bar 3, add octave flicks and some rests. Then in bar 4, build a final syncopated push, but leave a tiny gap right before the drop. That little gap is powerful. Micro gaps create tension, because the ear leans forward into the silence. Now automate the build. This is where the Rise becomes a proper transition tool. Start with filter cutoff on the mid layer, then automate saturation drive, or amount or tone if you're using it, and maybe a little gain increase or utility volume rise as the section approaches the drop. Open the filter in steps instead of one smooth line. That gives the movement more shape. For example, the cutoff might be low in the first bar, then open a bit more in the second, then become much brighter in the third, and finally peak near the end before cutting back. You can also widen the mid layer slightly as the build gets closer to the drop, then pull it back to mono right before impact. That contrast makes the drop feel heavier. If you really want the riser to glue together, resample it. Route both layers to the resample track and record the performance to audio. Once you've printed it, shop out the best segment and process it again lightly with saturator, EQ8, auto filter, or a touch of reverb on a send. You can even add a tiny bit of redux for texture if you want a more old hardware, sampler-like grime. Resampling is powerful because it makes the groove feel printed into one object instead of two separate MIDI parts. It also gives you a lot more control over editing and arrangement. If the MIDI still feels static, use clip envelopes or automation inside the clip. You can automate instrument macros, note velocity, pitch bends, or a small semitone rise at the end of the phrase. That last little pitch bump can make the riser sound like it's lifting off the floor. Keep it tasteful though. In Jungle and DNB, restraint usually hits harder than overdoing the obvious effects. When you arrange it, think in terms of transition structure. For an 8-bar build, you might keep bars 1 and 2 relatively sparse, bars 3 and 4 more grooved and saturated, bars 5 and 6 denser, bar 7 as the peak, and bar 8 as the final cut or mini-silence before the drop. For shorter 4-bar transition, keep it punchier. Establish, swing, intensify, then peak and cut. Old-school jungle often benefits from shorter, more aggressive transitions rather than long cinematic ramps. A few things to avoid. Don't oversaturate the sub. That's one of the fastest ways to lose clarity. Don't make the groove so random that it sounds sloppy. The swing should feel intentional, like it belongs with the break in the drop. Don't let low mids build up too much, because distortion loves to pile up around 200 to 500 Hz, and don't widen the low end. Keep the sub mono, always. If the build gets huge but the drop doesn't feel bigger, you probably forgot to leave contrast. Pull something back at the last second, whether that's width, volume, filter, or a rhythm. For extra weight, you can duplicate the mid layer and create a parallel distorted copy. Distort one version heavily, high pass it, and blend it quietly underneath the cleaner version. That gives you more edge without losing the core tone. You can also add a tiny bit of pitch and stability near the end of the riser, or sidechain the build gently to ghost drums so it breathes with the rhythm. And if you want modern darkness, Roar is excellent for controlled destruction, especially on the mid layer. Here's a good practice exercise. Make 3 versions of the same 4-bar riser. Version 1 should be subtle, with modest swing and smooth filtering. Version 2 should have classic jungle bounce, using a groove extracted from a break and more active mid-layer motion. Version 3 should be darker and harder, with stronger saturation, shorter notes, less swing, and a hard cut before the drop. Keep the root note and the core MIDI the same, but change the groove and movement. Then listen to how each version feels in context with your drums and bass. The big takeaway is this: a great jungle riser is not just about rising pitch or bright noise. It's about sub-pressure, swing, grit, and contrast. Keep the low end clean, let the mid layer carry the dirt, use groove pool to borrow feel from breaks, and shape the tension with density, filter motion, and saturation that grows over time. If you do that right, the build will feel like it belongs in the tune, not pasted on top of it. If you want, I can next turn this into a compact device chain recipe, a 4-bar MIDI example, or a macro map for an Ableton rack.